Our gospel reading is from Luke 13, verses 22 to 30. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and who are first who will be last." That's the end of our gospel message today. About 15 years ago, we were still worshiping here at the time, and Jill and Stephen and Grace were asleep, and I was studying, and I used to wait until they went to bed so then I could have quiet, uninterrupted study time, and then I could study till the wee hours in the morning. So everyone was asleep, and one night, it was between midnight and 1 p.m., someone banged on our front door. And I mean bang, 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 bang. "Let us in." Promise. And I went over there, and I said, "You have the wrong house." And they knocked on it. "Let us in. We're looking for Johnny." And so the alpha cop dad voice came out, and I said, "Step away from the door. You're at the wrong house." And they walked away. So then I called Clovis PD, and then I went back to my studying. And so the doors had been locked. The kids and my wife had been asleep. They're all in bed, resting safely. There is no way on this earth that I was going to open the door. There's no way. So when I read today's gospel reading in Luke, this is the thing that popped up in my mind. Luke 13, 22 says, "Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' And this someone more than likely was one of the religious authorities at the time, because they have been following Jesus. They are trying to get him to trip up in his words, to get caught in something. They just want to discredit him as quickly as they can. Jesus' message is about to change everything that they hold dear. Maybe they had some kind of anticipation, like, "We got to stop this guy." But listen to what he says. And the Jews, for centuries, they trusted in their salvation because they were the children of Israel. And now Jesus is coming, and he says, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's coming to save you." He says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So someone asks him, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" And the heart of this question is, "Lord, are we going to be saved? Are you going to be saved?" At the end of the day, the question is, "Am I going to be saved?" It's still the most important question that we have to us today. And most of us, we assume when Jesus closes the door that we're the insiders. We're going to be on the inside. He tells us about it in our gospel reading. We think, of course we're going to be on the inside. We're going to be there with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all those other guys we read about and gals that we read about. We don't see ourselves locked out where there's going to be gnashing of teeth and weeping. So probably most of the people that were listening to Jesus, they thought, yeah, we're going to be on the inside. But Jesus says they could easily be mistaken. He describes God's kingdom as this big house with many rooms. And when it gets dark, the owner locks the door of the house so everyone on the inside is safe and secure. Yet after he bolts the door shut, people are still standing outside thinking that they should be on the inside. They beat on the door, just like in my experience that I had that I shared with you. Jesus says, I won't open the door for you. It's not safe to open the door for strangers. I don't even know you. You're at the wrong house. Step away from the door. And they say, you know us. We ate with you. You taught in our streets. You saw us going to our jobs, to the market. You saw us every day when you preached in the village. Yet Jesus says, I don't know you or where you came from. I do know that you are evildoers, and evildoers don't come through this door. And when Jesus says, I don't know you, it's not because he forgot their name. He knows who they are. He doesn't have a relationship with them. They don't see him as their Lord. I don't know you. So if Jesus were to ask you, why should I let you through this door, what would you say? You know me, Lord. I got baptized. I got the certificate somewhere. It's probably in that Bible that's by my bed, the one with all the dust on it. But you know me, Lord. So does Jesus know you? You know me, Lord. I come to church when it's convenient. I know I don't make it to Bible study all the time, but I know you know me. I know that you know I don't agree with stuff Pastor Ed talks about all the time, but I'm sure you know me. But I know I'm trying to do the very bare minimum to get into heaven, but Lord, you know me. So does Jesus know you? Lord, I've tried to live a good life. I've been active in the church. I've served on all kinds of committees. In fact, I've given a bunch of money to the church. But does Jesus know you? Jesus knows the hidden secret parts in your life that you don't share with anybody. He knows that no matter how many marvelous acts you've done for others, he knows that on the inside that you're a fallen, sinful creature because of the fall of Adam and Eve. You're still someone that does and thinks what you're not supposed to do, or what Paul says, Lord, I don't know. I do the things I'm not supposed to do, and I don't do the things I'm supposed to do. But Lord, you have to let me in. I believe in you. And Satan believes in Jesus too. He knows who he is. So without faith, just going through the churchly actions, just giving money or showing up or doing what you think is your part, without faith, none of it really matters. It doesn't automatically mean that Jesus knows you. Doing good deeds does not necessarily mean that you're in communion with him. Believing that there is a God doesn't mean Jesus is going to let you pass through the narrow door. In Isaiah 64, 6, it says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. One way to read the Hebrew is like a dirty handkerchief. That's what our good deeds are for. So before we get through the narrow door, Jesus has to know you. He has to know that you're sinless and holy and blameless, because only 100% holy people are going to get through this narrow door. Think of it this way. Every time you sin, you get a little bit bloated. And I'm not talking about this December Christmas bloat thing that I have going on. You just get a little bit bloated, and if you're even a little bit bloated, you're too wide to get through this narrow door that Jesus is talking about. If you've broken one commandment, you are already too bloated to squeeze through this doorway. Even if you were to do billions and billions of good works, it wouldn't take away this little bit of bloat. And to make it even more concerning, Jesus says that some of the people on the inside never expected to be there. And these are the people that we think are unworthy. We see gangbangers or prisoners or inmates, homeless people. How dare Jesus let them in? But when we make assumptions about other people, then that adds a little bit of bloat to us. So how in the world did those guys fit through the door? If we're too bloated with evil to get through the door, how come they're not too bloated? And it's because they've been sanctified. They've been cleansed, those who believe in Jesus. And I can picture this when Pastor Ed comes back, and they're going to say, hey, what did you learn from Pastor Gary? And you're going to say, well, Pastor Gary said we're too bloated and we need to be cleansed. So we know Judy's into Juice Plus, and maybe she has some kind of cleansing stuff for us. All right, so you got to, if you have to listen to the rest of the story before you say that to Pastor Ed. Sinners who believe in Jesus have been declared holy. They're perfect, they're blameless, only because Jesus took their sin away. He alone can take that bloat away from us. We can only fit through that narrow door when our egos have been deflated and our pride has been taken away. Some of that, I think, is some of the bad things we experience, I think, is our being refined. And being refined isn't a pleasant experience. But with that refinement, all of these things that make us proud kind of humbles us. You and I can only pass through the door when we believe that we need Jesus just as much as every other sinner. Here's another way to think about it. If Jesus asks you, why should I let you through this narrow door? If your sentence has I in it, you've already blown it. If Jesus says, why should I let you through the door? And you say, well, because I did this. Nope, that's it. Another person said, well, Lutheranism, after I explained it sounds like a pretty lazy religion. You guys don't have to do anything. Jesus did all the work. So you guys just sit back? And I said, no. That's not it. We do good works for other people because we get to. It's because Jesus did all these wonderful things for us, because of God's grace, that's why we do good things for other people. So please, keep doing good things for other people. And hand over all of your sins, all that negativity, all those things that have hurt you in the past. We're coming up to the end of 2019. Give all those to Jesus. Don't hold on to those things. Whoever hurt you or said this or didn't say that, give those all away. Here's my plan. When God calls me home and he says, Gary, why should I let you through the door? I'm not even going to say a word. I'm just going to point to Jesus. Right? Because I'm not going to screw this up. So just point to Jesus. Here's my last point. The struggle that we face in life isn't making ourselves good enough to fit through the door. The struggle is us admitting to ourselves and to God that we can't fit through the door on our own. There is nothing we can do to get through that narrow door except believe in Jesus. And we are in this lifelong fight against the world, against Satan, against this constant temptation that we don't need to go to church, we don't need to study the Bible, we don't need to go to Bible study. There's that little voice that says, you don't need to do that. You're fine. You did a little extra on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever like that. I can skip church this week. There's this constant temptation to think that our faith doesn't need to be fed every week. And this is how this hit home with me. The thing that Martin Luther was scared of for his life, he was scared to death of the fact that he believed at all these different ages, he was scared that at some point in the future, he was going to lose his faith. And that scared him to death. In fact, it scared him to tears. That should scare you. You know how much Jesus, and I assume all of you have heard about Jesus. If you haven't, please come talk to me. I assume all of you have been baptized. If not, come talk to me. I assume all of you trust in Jesus, that he is going to lead you home. So then, focus on doing whatever it takes for you to stay believing in Jesus. Go to Bible study. Read your Bibles. Look up YouTube videos. Hang out with other Christians. Do these things to maintain your faith so you never lose it. Come back to Jesus again and again as often as you can. I gave this one sermon, and there was someone from Montana that it was moved to Hanford. And I gave this sermon, and I said this one little sentence in it, and that's what That's what she took a hold of, and it helped her immensely. I made this one little sentence in this big, long sermon, and all I said was, God allows U-turns. And for her, that was huge. That was a life changer. But I had said it just in passing. But that's what this is focused on about. God allows U-turns. When you find yourself facing the wrong way and you're like, how in the world did I get into this mess? Whether whatever it is, with family, money, whatever it is, turn around. Turn around and head back to God. So dear people loved by God, keep turning around. Keep looking for Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Believe that. Trust in that. Jesus is the only one that can lead you through this narrow door. And now go tell others about this too. Amen. Will you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the love you've given us, the grace that you've given us. Lord, for the faith that you've given us, because we can't even boast about our faith because we know that's a gift from your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we are willing to receive what you give, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, and to be what you require. Lord, we're finishing this year of 2019, and we think about all those doubts and problems that we had this last year, and some of that energy was just wasted because you've brought us through this year, Lord. We ask you to comfort us as we come into this next year. Help us be a blessing to others. Lord, help us focus on Jesus alone. Take our pride away. Take our egos away, Lord. Make us humble. Help us be loving to those that we normally wouldn't love. Help us share that grace with others who don't deserve it, just like we don't deserve your grace. And Lord, we have people on our minds and our hearts. Lord God, be with us. Help us. Refine us. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. It's through your name we pray. Amen.